You know, Arnie, it was one of several factors, obviously, and it was just a culmination of factors that led to Mr. Boland's decision.
Curious about the timing. Why now, not last week, not at the end of the season?
What I think happened, Mike, was, you know, Pat looked at everything and assessed everything and came to the conclusion probably sometime Sunday night that he was going to make a change. And he had resisted that. He had a lot of respect for Josh, fondness for Josh, appreciated everything he did for him. But at the end, I think as I said, all of the factors, the culmination of the events were too much, and he felt that a change had to be made, and there wasn't any point at that point delaying it. He thought it was in not only the best interest of the organization to at this time, last night, yesterday, whenever, to move forward, and that would be best not only for the organization, but for Josh and his family too.
You said that this videotaping
was a portion of it, but there was a culmination of factors. Can you spell out it's not just one thing. Can you just give some examples of what other things factored in?
No, Lee, you know, there's a lot of speculation and to the various factors, and many of you in this room have laid those out, and I'm not going to get into any more specifics. I told you that the one incident was part of it, but there was a multitude of things, and I don't think it's fair to Josh or to anyone else on the staff to get into that. It just was, as I said, a culmination of things, and we're moving forward. You know, Pat, I think, just wanted to be clear how he was going to proceed, and he wanted to bounce it off myself, and we had long conversations. He was very thoughtful about it, and I said at the beginning, he's a man of humility and kindness, and I think it was hard for him to. He said yesterday to Josh, it's the hardest decision of this kind that he's ever had to make. He hasn't made a lot of them. He's made some of them. But I think, you know, I'm speaking for him. He struggled with it yesterday a little bit. And at the end of the day, though, he had to do what was best for his organization and for the fans. And so that just happened when it happened.
Right? You know, was Josh given too much responsibility at too young an age and too little experience?
I don't want to break that question down, but I think the responsibilities that he was burdened with, it's fair to say, Les, that we probably burdened him with too much of that, and we were unfair to him in that respect, and we certainly need to assess that and look at that moving forward. There's no question about that.
Joe, 2 years ago, you sort of said that Mike had too much responsibility and that you didn't want that to happen again, and it seems as though it happened exactly that way again. I'd like to know, how did that happen given the realization that you articulated 2 years ago, and how do you prevent it from happening again?
Well, the first part of the question, Dave, is I think it kind of evolved and grew into that. And again, as I said to Les, I think, you know, I take some responsibility on behalf of Pat for allowing that to happen, perhaps. But I think a lot of Josh's vision and the way Pat had structured his organization in the past was something that he, at the end of the day, or during that time period, wanted to see continue. In other words, have his head coach kind of oversee all of football operations. And, you know, we started out with not that being the intent, but it ended up being that way to some extent. I mean, Josh had a lot of help from a lot of people. There's no question about that. But you know, moving forward now, I think it's important that, and we've got some time here to look at this, and I'm not going to speak to the structure moving forward in definite terms, but we got to evaluate that, and we got to come forward for our fans and for everybody. And I understand you're going to be distributing the message and let them know what the plan is, and it's very likely that the plan will not empower the next head coach with the kind of authority that Josh was probably unfairly put upon him, and it's also fair to say that we'll stick to that plan.
Mr. Ellis, a couple of weeks ago when you had the NFL conference call after the video scandal broke, you were asked whether it was a fireable offense. In is that something you still say is not a fireable offense, or are the contract lawyers looking at that? Was there an ethics integrity clause in Josh's contract that might change what the organization owes him?
Well, I'm not going to speak to the particulars of his contract or the severance settlement agreement that we do with every employee when they leave the organization. That's not fair. That's always a private matter between the employee and the organization, and it will stay that way. You may hear some other things from outside people, but you're not going to hear it from anybody inside this building. So I'm not going to readdress that or speak to that at this time. I don't think that's fair to anybody.
Do you stand by that it was not a fireable offense?
What I said at the time was where we were on that Saturday, and you know, in the and I say this, and I said this. I don't know who asked the question earlier. You know, it was there were a bunch of factors that went into Mr. Boland's decision, and you know, if you add them all up, it was just too overwhelming for Josh and the organization to overcome, and so the decision was made. But I'm not going to single out that particular statement and say that, retract on it. I don't think I'm going to do that.
Joe, how big of a project is this? I mean, you guys have talked about not just on the field, but you've talked about in statements about restoring the franchise's integrity and image. How long of a process do you think this is, and what will it entail?
Well, it started today with Eric, and I hope people understand his enthusiasm and his positive energy and all of that that I talked about, and I think that came across today. It'll continue through the rest of this season, how our team performs, and I think Mr. Boland, myself, Eric, everybody has confidence in our coaches and our players to do the right thing, prepare themselves well this week, and play hard on Sundays for the next 4 weeks. And then, of course, you know, we have an obligation to the community, our fans, to roll out a plan. And I'm not going to get into too many details today, as I said, but that'll be the next step. And I don't have an exact date on timing for any of you here right now. I'm sorry on that, but I don't, and Pat doesn't either. But then, you know, I don't think that's going to solve everything either, Lee. I think it's going to take some time, and as I said, it's going to take some action, and I'm hopeful that the fans, the community, will accept and buy into what we try to do as we do it, and I hope they understand Eric's passion for what he's going to do today and how he's going to represent the organization, and then we'll go from there. You know, we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. I don't want to speak to that. I think that's for people with the appropriate football expertise in terms of the team on the field and all of that. You know, from an organizational standpoint, as I said, we got some things we have to restore and rebuild. Yeah, sure.
Well, 2 years ago, this was a very attractive job when you were looking for a head coach. Now coming in, you're probably paying two former coaches. You've got a roster that's lost some talent. You traded away some picks next year. So do you think it's an attractive job for the NFL head coach?
Yeah, I do. And I don't think the fact that we're paying who we're paying or the players that are here or the coaches that are here is going to detract from this this being an attractive job. I believe that it is an attractive job. And I believe, you know, that we can set up a structure and that's attractive to the next candidate and move forward. So does Mr. Boland. I understand what this has done to the organization. Mr. Boland understands that, but I think there are plenty of people that would be interested in this job, yes.
Will Eric get a look?
Eric's got a 4-week audition, you know? I mean, every interim coach has that, and I think he realized that when he left, went and called Stacy, and came back 15 minutes later, so.
Joe, will you go through the process differently?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Did you go through the process of finding a new coach any differently than you did the last time around?
We haven't thought that far ahead, Vic. You know, I mean, really, we've just gotten to where we got to yesterday, which was a change in coaches and bringing Eric on. And so when we have information on that, we'll be as forthcoming as we can be. But again, we've got four games to play, and Eric's got a tall order here, and I think his coaches and his players will respond, and then we'll get back to you on the process moving forward as when we can.
My tenure of short tenure of Josh McDaniels, are you further away from your goal of winning the Super Bowl than when you fired Mike Shanahan 2 years ago?
I don't know how. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, and certainly we're 2 years later. You know, based on where we are, that's just a fact. So we got to get back to business and try and get that plan, which is everybody's plan, back on track. And I can't put a time frame on that. I don't know how to quite address that accurately.
Hey Joe, can you just outline the search process that you're planning on undertaking? Are you looking at possibility of a new general manager perhaps being hired in place first, or what?
You know, we're going to consider everything, and I don't have an outline for you today. As I said, Pat made a decision yesterday that he thought long and hard about, and he hasn't thought about too much moving forward at this point. That started last night with Eric getting on board to lead us through for the last four games. And when we have that information, you know, when we can release it, we will. But again, this is one of those questions, and I know there are a lot of them out here about, well, how are you going to proceed forward? Right now, you know, we're in the process of figuring that out, and when we do, we'll advise everybody so we can let our fans know. Jeff?
Is John Elway part of the equation?
You know, John is working with us as a consultant right now on the business side, and one of the things that Pat asked him to do was come back into the building and get involved with the team. He's been at practices, and he's, you know, in the course of meetings we have on the business side, he's shared thoughts about the team. He's expressed an interest to, I think, some of you in the room. I don't take that lightly. The conversations, Pat doesn't take that lightly, that's for sure. The conversations that we've had with John clearly indicate one thing, and that is he loves the Broncos and he loves Denver and he wants to help if he can. And, you know, Pat has a great deal of respect for that, so do I. And I don't know where that's going to go, Jeff, if anywhere. I really don't, but, you know, I respect the fact that he's interested in helping the Broncos, and you know, he has a lot of qualities that perhaps could lend themselves to helping the Broncos, but I don't know if that's going to advance at this point or not. I don't.
Do you know why Eric over, like, maybe Lynch or Mike McCoy? What checked you over those guys?
You know, we talked to a few people in the organization, and I hope you saw his passion and his presence and his enthusiasm. And as he said when he came down the hall, he wasn't sure what was going to happen. And when he was asked to if he was interested in being the interim head coach of the Denver Broncos, I think it was like a baseball bat had hit him right between the eyes. But he gathered himself and talked to Stacy, and he's here today. And it's for those reasons that I think he exemplified here up on the stage. And he's going to be a good leader of our squad for the last 4 weeks. And I do think the coaches will rally around him, and so will the players.
Well, Joe, to play off of what Dave was talking about, and I know some of the details you can't completely spell out, but when Mike was here, one of the issues at the end was personnel versus someone having too much control, personal decisions maybe not working out. And you seem to indicate some of the same things with Josh. How important is it that this team gets a strong, independent personnel person here to evaluate what's the talent here?
You want to get the best possible people in to evaluate talent, and you want to get the best possible players in here. And I think, you know, I think we have some people that are capable of that internally, and if we go externally to that down the road, we'll see. I don't want to go too far down the line there. We haven't given that a lot of thought, given what we've just been through the last several days, if you will. But you know, we're going to evaluate everything, Lee, as well we should, and that's the expectation of the fans, and that's what Mr. Bowen understands we have to do. So That's what we'll do.
Just to be clear, Joe, do you even know at this point how it'll be structured, how many people are looking to hire?
I don't. You know, I haven't given it a lot of thought, but we certainly will, you know, moving forward. And again, we, you know, I want to reemphasize, we got four games to play, and everybody in this building is intent on doing the best we can, starting with Eric and his support staff and his coaching staff and all the players. And so that's you know, part and parcel of what our focus is going to be for the next couple of weeks. Yeah, Dave.
Just to be clear, Joe, there's a lot of speculation already, obviously, about potential coaching candidates. Mm-hmm. You have not determined yet who's going to pick the next coach. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say.
So
yeah. Haven't determined anything. It's possible. Yeah. Haven't determined anything.
You have not begun a coaching search.
Have not. And I know I read a lot of, I read something this morning in your paper on certain names and everything like that. That hasn't even begun to happen.
Joe, will John Elway have input in the selection process for new head coach? And have you put out any feelers to either potential coaches or their representatives?
The answer to the first question is I don't know yet. The answer to the second question is no. So we have not. We haven't. I mean, we haven't done that. No hesitation.
Sorry
for the hesitation. The answer is no. Yeah.
What's the sense from the front office, you and Pat Bowler, about Tim Tebow, whether or not he should play this year? I know it's things that fans really want to see or want to know.
I understand the fans' passion about that, and Eric gets to assemble with his staff and make that decision. Pat's never made a decision like that or asked a coach to play a certain player, and I don't think he's going to ask that of Eric. So, you know, we'll see what Tim's role is down the road. Eric will handle that.
The fact that Leslie Frazier and Jason Garrett, you know, they got a little boost after they made in-season changes, is that a factor in going ahead with the timing?
I don't think so. I think it was Mr. Bolin feeling that the time had come and there was no use prolonging it, and it wouldn't be fair to the fans, to our organization, and it certainly wouldn't have been fair to Josh to continue on when he had his mind made up. So that's what happened. I don't think he weighed into or had took into account, I should say, the success of interim coaches. I don't think that entered his decision. Brian's still here, and I talked to him this morning, and he's, you know, he understands the situation. He's been helpful in this process. I'll be frank with you. He went through it a few times in Atlanta when he was there, so he gave us some good guidance. Brian loves working here. He loves the Broncos, and you know, I told him that he just needs to keep plugging away and working hard and helping us, and that's what he's committed to do, and we'll see where things go at the end of the year.
Joe, you were the one who spearheaded the search for Josh McDaniels, met with him a couple of times. As the CEO, you gave your stamp of approval to Pat Bowlen that Josh McDaniels should be the new head coach. The fact that it unraveled so quickly, can you talk about your personal disappointment and how this whole thing unfolded?
Well, the sequence of your question, you know, I want to make it clear, Pat made the decision, and he had his mind made up on Josh, I thought, fairly quickly, and everybody in that room, which included three other people, Brian Zanders, the two Goodmans at the time, and myself, understood Pat's excitement about Josh. Now, I then went back to Providence because there were a lot of things that we had to go through before we made the final hire, a lot of details, administrative details, and that was really the point of the second visit back then. But I'll be frank, I was as excited. And, you know, I said this to Josh yesterday. I said, I'm disappointed that it didn't work out for you, but you're going to be a good coach. And unfortunately, it's going to be somewhere else. And I believe that. I do. I think he'll grow from this and learn from it. And, you know, his intellectual mind when it comes to football is, I think a lot of players and coaches would agree with this, is superior. It's terrific. And, you know, other things will come into play for him as he gets older and wiser, and he'll be a terrific coach in this league. I'm sorry that it's not here.
This was a difficult decision for Pat Bowman, as you said. It's a hard decision. It's a critical juncture for this organization and the fans that love this organization. We made it clear that the decision to hire Josh was Pat's decision. The decision to fire Josh was Pat's decision. So why is it left to you to discuss the firing rather than Pat himself?
Well, Pat asked me to come down, Mark. He's at a point in his, I don't want to say career, but his life, where he's humble and modest about who he is, and he wants to just take a step back and let somebody else run the day-to-day operations. And, you know, we bring, several of us, whether it was Josh or myself or others in the organization, will bring decisions and recommendations to Pat. But ultimately, the decision has to be with him. He's not here because he's asked me to be here on his behalf. And I accept the responsibility. And I also accept, you know, the fact that he's entrusted with me a lot of the day-to-day operations of the, if not all, of the day-to-day operations of the organization. And there have been a lot of things that have happened to our organization that aren't good. And I feel partially, if not close to totally responsible for a lot of that on his behalf. And, you know, I'm here for him. I'm loyal to him. He's been a good owner here for 27 years. He'll continue to be a good owner. And nobody's more disappointed for him than I am. And, you know, I think he's mostly disappointed, not for himself, but for our fans. And, you know, I hope people respect that.
What kind of factor was taken into account in the firing as far as the amount of no-shows in the game, the loss of revenue for the game?
I didn't really weigh that so much. I mean, it was just more, as I said, all of the factors piled up onto one that were there. And again, I'm not going to get into specifics of those, you know. There's no need to do that. It's just that Pat knew, I think, as I said, late Sunday night, maybe early Monday morning, that this was a decision he had to make.
Joe, when you look at the post-war games around the country and even locally beyond Josh, over and over it comes up, you know, it started with Cutler, Brandon Marshall, you know, all these relationships, Scheffler, and other trades that maybe didn't pan out. Did he have carte blanche on those, or was the organization in agreement on those things? And how is his ability to relate to those players rolled into what you're saying about Packers?
Well, I think he had final. I don't think he did have final say on football matters. He received input from others, and he made decisions that he felt were in the best interest of the team. And you know, a lot of them didn't work out. I think he accepted that, and you know, it's too bad. A lot of it happened the way it did, but it's over. There's nothing you can't rewind the tape. So we got to move forward.
Joe, was there ever any thought given to changing the structure while Josh was here, as things started to unravel and as things started to accumulate, maybe taking the power back on personnel decisions and changing it midstream?
I don't know that there may have been some consideration of that, but nothing that. You know, I think the goal would have been to get him some more help, and because we weren't doing a good enough job of that for him. I think he was burdened by so much that's behind the head coaching job today, and that was unfair for us to let that happen to him.
Joe, could you just comment? I don't know if you can comment or not, but are the Broncos, is there any consideration at all to make this dismissal for cause?
Yeah, I said earlier, you know, we don't discuss any termination agreements that we have, severance settlement agreements, whatever you want to call with anybody, whether it's a coach or another employee, that's not something we do. You'll hear stuff, I think, from other people, but it won't be from anybody inside this organization.
So just for clarity's sake, after the interview with quotes were pretty straightforward, you know, I'm not interested in changing a coach. And then immediately the team put out a release that seemed to kind of downplay that.
Right.
Can you talk about what happened there?
Yeah, I think Pat was, when he was speaking to whoever that was just doing that out of kindness and concern and trying to protect Josh. And then I think when he revisited that, he realized that, you know, he's got a constituency out here that he needs to be responsible to, people that are invested in this team emotionally and otherwise, and that's our community and our fans. And so he tempered his remarks through that statement. Susie. Well, my answer to that is I think that's our problem, and the fans don't want to be burdened with that problem. It's our problem to solve that, okay? So if we have to pay 8 coaches, that's too bad for us. But we better do something about getting it right. So that's what we're going to set out to do.
Joe.
It's okay, Les.
Is it possible that there might be more information coming out about the bigger
I don't know. You'd have to ask the league. I don't know that.